Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host this week is Matt Harrison. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Charch. Do you know who does like the, like by name, who does the cool voice intros for our our show?
I think this one was a guy named Miguel.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Really?
Yeah. Do you think he does a good job?
Yeah, he does a great job. I just wonder if that's his real voice.
No.
Hi.
No,
hey.
That's honey, FM voice.
Honey, can you make me some pancakes?
At which point you go, yes, I can make you pancakes. That's, we can all get into the smooth FM voice.
Oh, sure.
You know, I can't do it as well right now, but just because I just did 3 hours of radio, but if I need to do FM voice, I can do FM voice if I need to, but I'm not going to do it right now. All right, we got a bunch of stuff to get to now because our last four shows were all about breaking down all the teams in the NFL from a fantasy standpoint. And then we had our COVID show.
Mm-hmm.
This is our first time to catch up on news from around the league. So I want to really orient today's discussion around some of the bigger topics of the past month or so.
Sure.
And just hit on a few of these things. And then, and I also at the end, this isn't necessarily new news, but I've been fascinated by the idea of a starting backfield of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams. And you start those two chief running backs every week, but they're bye week.
You're fascinated by this idea?
I am. So we'll look into the viability of that strategy a little later in the show. Let's start here with more recent news. Derrick Henry signs a 4-year extension. And by the way, brilliant on his part. When you look at all of the players that are coming into free agency next year, Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook.
Of course, they all want deals done, too.
They do. But Henry was smart enough to get... this is a good deal. It's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
He took $25 million in guaranteed money, $50 million upside if he plays through the whole contract. And he doesn't have to sweat being one of a dozen meaningful running back free agents. And I'm not kidding. There's a dozen guys coming.
Yeah. And the nice part is it's also a team friendly contract, really, because there is a potential out in 2022 with a dead cap of only $6 million for those final two seasons of the deal.
Yeah.
So if his knee explodes in the next year or two, the Titans can get out of it scot-free. And if Derrick Henry performs, he's going to get paid some decent money where he'll get $15 million each for those last 2 years. So I think it's a good deal for everyone around right there.
You know, there's some people feel like, well, they could have paid Jack Conklin, their star tackle, or Derrick Henry. In this world, tackles are a lot more valuable than running backs. Derrick Henry's pretty special.
Yeah.
But, man, I don't know that that's the choice I would have made for the Titans, but let's talk about Derrick Henry's fantasy value. Let's start with redraft. How do you feel does this signing in any way change this year's?
No, because I think everybody in redraft leagues, they knew Derrick Henry wasn't making any noise. There was no holdout.
No.
Speculation on him. Everybody knew that he was going to run into this year as the lead back there. So I don't think it changes anything at all from a redraft perspective.
All right. Now, you spend a lot of your time on Dynasty and Empire League related matters.
Sure.
You've got the best cheat sheet in existence for Dynasty and Empire players with trade values and all kinds of stuff. So let's look more long term. Let's talk about this Henry deal for those people that own Henry or maybe are interested in investing in Henry. How do you feel like this changes his value for Dynasty and Empire League owners for Derrick Henry?
I mean, I'm going to bump him up a little bit. I currently have him as tied for running back 8 with a few guys who are on a little bit longer contracts and are a little bit younger, Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders. So he's right in that neighborhood, but I'll probably bump him up above them. And he's going to be in the right between Joe Mixon and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. You know, the fact that he just doesn't catch passes to me just caps his upside. He can never be the top running back or the top two or top three because those guys
he's the modern day Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he really is. And he runs with violence. He runs with vim and vigor.
Yes. They always go together, don't they? Nobody runs with vim without also running with vigor.
I think you could run with vigor without vim, though.
I think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vim. Vigor's got it way better. You're not attached to vim. I saw this stat that blew me away.
Okay.
Regarding Derrick Henry. Once Ryan Tannehill took over last year, the Titans averaged 7.5 yards per play, most in the history, most in the last 20 years of the NFL, going back to 2000. That's unbelievable.
And they started handing off to Derrick Henry.
And Henry is obviously a huge part of that, right? You know, when your running back is getting you chunk yardage of 5 and 8 and 20 yards a carry, it certainly helps.
So, brief aside on that, who is the offensive coordinator that essentially ruined his value for the first 2-3 years of his career?
Not Mike Mularkey. That was
he's currently a head coach,
right, in the Packers. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah,
Matt LaFleur. Yeah.
I think that Aaron Jones is kind of in the market for a same regression this year, especially with AJ Dillon there.
But other people would say, yeah, look what Aaron Jones did last year under Matt LaFleur. But Aaron Jones is one of my biggest fades this fantasy season. I really worry about what A.J. Dillon is going to do to him, especially near the stripe. So much of the fantasy value that Aaron Jones had was because they used him a lot near the stripe.
Mm-hmm.
If those go away, he's in a three-person timeshare.
Yeah, and Jamal Williams wasn't the guy they were handing off in the five to. So no. it was all Aaron Jones last year. So
A.J. Dillon is 250 pounds.
He's as big as Derrick Henry.
Yes, he's Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
It's bonkers what he's going to be like. So I think for me, Derrick Henry also, I love him in this offense. I like the way they want to use him here. And it's a proven commodity. If Derrick Henry had hit free agency next year, he could have ended up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe into a timeshare role. Who knows? Here, he remains one of the few locked in workhorse backs for the remainder of his contract in all probability.
It's pretty nice consistency, that's for sure.
It definitely is. All right, so we're high on Derrick Henry. I want to touch on this as well before we jump into some other matters. Dak Prescott has let the deadline to sign he could always sign a new deal, but he's let the deadline pass. He's going to play this year under the franchise tag. And will probably enter next year, people assume, as a free agent. And the team could re-franchise him again at that point. So he's heading down the Kirk Cousins path. Is there any real scenario here where Dak ends up missing, doesn't play? Is there a scenario here where this season, he just goes, I'm out.
Well,
I'm going to hold out he turned down a $100 million deal.
He turned down a $175 million deal I saw that was worth $110 in guaranteed money on a five-year deal. Now, he is on the franchise tag. And I don't know how this works, but according to SpotTrack, who I most of my contract information from, his cap hit of $31.4 million this year under the franchise tag makes him the highest paid player in the NFL this year.
What?
According to them. So if he's not going to play this year as the highest paid player in the NFL, what is he doing?
Yeah, when push comes to shove, the players want their game checks.
Yeah.
And at that level of game checks, when you're making $2 million a game.
Sure.
Yeah, you're going to show up for those games.
I think he will.
I think he will too. Now, I also saw this that was interesting about Dak. If they have to refranchise him next year, the $31.5 million only goes to $38 million. The year after that, it explodes to like $50 million or something. So it could be that he gets the franchise tag twice, just like Kirk did.
It could be.
Could be. We'll see. It's Dak remains my quarterback number three. Is he your quarterback three or four?
I think I have him at three or four. One of the two. I'm probably more on the three bandwagon. I'm pretty on the Dak thing this year.
I love CeeDee Lamb, and once CeeDee Lamb was on that team, I'm like, that's it. He's three.
Yeah, Dak and CD are on my Scott Fishbowl roster. I'm pretty pleased about that.
I bet you are.
Yep.
I'm jealous of that. As a matter of fact, let's take a quick break, Matt. When we come back, I want to talk about Cam Newton. I'm contending no fantasy quarterback has a bigger variance in possible outcomes than Cam Newton. We'll touch on him when we return to Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Matt Harrison with you. Cam Newton replaces Tom Brady, obviously, in New England. I believe, as I said going into the break, no quarterback has more variance and possible outcome than Cam Newton. He could lose the job outright. We don't know for sure.
He could get cut before the season starts.
It costs the team nothing to cut him. I don't think they would. He's an ideal backup and he's cheap. But he may not even be the starter. Mm-hmm. There's a slim but non-zero chance that he gets beaten out by Jared Stidham. I don't know where he is as a passer. But what we do know is he's only four seasons removed from being the best fantasy player in the league.
Yep.
When he's a running quarterback, he's awfully good. So what are your thoughts on Cam Newton? Are you with me on the upside and downside that he can bring? And what's your strategy, if any, on selecting him?
So I'm with you on the variance. But Bill Belichick obviously saw something that he likes. And I got a few stats to dig into that might help us make this decision. As you mentioned, 2015 was his huge year. He's never hit 4,000 passing yards in a season, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of surprising for a quarterback of his
MVP
stature.
Yep. He was an MVP one year.
Never once. And a lot of guys hit 4,000 yards every year.
Cutler was a 4,000 yard passer.
It's pretty easy mark to hit. He's had only one season of more than 24 touchdown passes.
Isn't that crazy?
That was 2015, again, when he threw 35. And last year, by the way, 14 quarterbacks threw 24 touchdown passes or more.
Yeah.
24.
So it's not that high. It's not that high of a mark.
It's easy.
Now I'm going to jump in because I have a stat that is right into the same wheelhouse that you're in. If I looked at his past three full seasons for Cam Newton, his average game, 231 passing yards.
Yep.
And 1.4 passing touchdowns. That is exactly Andy Dalton. So when you draft Cam Newton's arm, you are getting Andy Dalton's arm.
Yeah. I guess the interesting thing that I think that Belichick saw was his 2018 season, the last season he was mostly healthy. Mm-hmm. That was an outlier in one category specifically for Cam, and that was completion percentage. He almost completed 68% of his balls that year.
Great number.
That's a really good number. Mm-hmm. He never topped more than 61.5. The rest of his career.
Yeah.
So he really rocketed up the completion percentage. That coincided with Christian McCaffrey grabbing 107 passes.
Well, those are high completion plays.
Does this make you think a little bit about James White?
Well, he becomes very serviceable
I think James White becomes really, really interesting in these leagues. But really, you're buying Cam for his rushing ability.
Yes, you are.
How comfortable are you in investing in a 31-year-old running back, Charge?
most running backs, I'm not comfortable investing in at 31 years old.
How about when they're coming off a significant injury?
Well, true. And that is absolutely fair.
Cam did record 488 rushing yards and 4 rushing TDs in 2018. Age 29 season.
Yep.
Let's say the Pats can magically get 75% of that.
Yeah.
That's 366 yards and 3 scores. Mm-hmm. That's about what Russell Wilson had last year. And people do pay for the Russell Wilson rushing ability.
Upside, yeah.
But Russell Wilson's got way more passing upside.
Way more passing upside.
So I think the long and short of this is, I think Cam just finishes as a middle of the pack quarterback. He's got the upside variance. He's got the downside variance. He's going to finish as quarterback 17 on the year. And I think everybody's going to be like,
almost exactly right. I'm ranked right now. Quarterback 16. Here, let me give you another scenario where Cam can hit the upside.
Mm-hmm.
You're Belichick. You've watched what Baltimore has done with Lamar Jackson, running him with abandon. And you know that Cam can still run. It's just the last several seasons, he's been hurt, and the teams Panthers consciously chose not to have him run as much because they wanted to keep him healthy. But does Belichick have a motivation to keep him healthy
way? He doesn't care.
He's on a one-year deal that costs him nothing. So Belichick might just figure, I'm going to run him for 16 games, and if he makes it and it helps us win, fine. And if it doesn't, who cares? It doesn't cost me anything, and I'll go to Jared Stidham.
Cutthroat Belichick.
It could go that way.
That's interesting.
Belichick might just figure, I'll run him and just see how long it lasts, and maybe all the way to the Super Bowl. I don't know. I think there's some sneaky upside for that. Your worst case scenario, we've already documented. He could get benched. Andy Dalton, who we said he's Andy Dalton as a passer. Andy Dalton got benched last year.
Yep.
And keep in mind, Cam has been a sub 500 quarterback in 6 of his 9 seasons. Sub 500. Belichick may not stand for that.
As far as wins.
Wins.
Yeah.
Just talking about wins. That's right. So here's the drafting strategy for me. I love Cam as my second quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, because you get all the upside and none of the risk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to take Cam around before ADP if I've already got a quarterback.
Okay.
And so, you know, regardless of where I took that first quarterback, although if I took Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, I'm probably not going to waste what would have to be ultimately about a 9th or 10th round pick to go get Cam. But, you know, if I let that quarterback position slide and I'm taking my number 10 ranked quarterback in round 7,
mm-hmm.
I'd come back in round 9 for Cam Newton.
I think it'll be interesting to see where his ADP kind of falls as we get into mid to late August, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of Patriots fans that might bump up his value. They see that he's with Belichick and Josh McDaniels over there, and we're really going to bump up this value. Does he sneak into like the top 12-ish ADP quarterbacks?
He might.
I think he might by the end of this. So I don't think you're going to get him as a second quarterback in a lot of cases. And if you're not getting him as a second quarterback, I'm probably letting him pass.
Fantasy, if it's any indication right now in late July, season's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
The drafts I'm in, nobody wants the other Patriots. It's like they're still in the pre-Cam mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We just got done with the Scott Fishbowl. I got James White in the 8th round of the Scott Fishbowl. 8th round. A guy who's been a top 20 running back.
And I'm sure
back,
you
like,
handcuffed him to
years.
Sony Michel, didn't you?
God, no. N'Keal Harry is, I'm doing this off the top of my head. N'Keal Harry went somewhere in the neighborhood of round 15. Julian Edelman went somewhere in the neighborhood of round 8, 9. It seems like people haven't figured out, even if you acknowledge that Cam's there and he's a massive improvement over Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah.
I don't hear anybody taking. It doesn't seem like the ADP has moved accordingly for the rest of the Patriots.
No, and I think the ADP for the Patriots has just remained low. And I mean, when we started the draft,
mm-hmm.
We weren't quite on the Cam bandwagon yet. So.
Right, right. All right. Final segment for this podcast. Paul Charchi and Matt Harrison with you. I am fascinated by a starting backfield of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams. Let's start with this. So obviously you're getting the two Chiefs running backs that we think are going to split
You give
time.
Me all the positives here because
you're going to go negative.
I'm going to come with the negatives.
All right,
okay.
Good. I'm fascinated by it. Here's why. First, I got, we think the timeshare is going to be somewhere 60-40 one way or the other.
Okay.
Does that seem fair?
Seems fairish.
60-40, you know, and I think it'll start.
Insert Darwin Thompson, like, hey.
No, we're not falling for that again. Remember how excited we were for Darwin Thompson in the preseason?
Dwayne Washington's like, what's going on?
Right. It's going to be 60. But the part of the beauty of this is I don't need to know who's going to be 60 and who's going to be 40. Because I got both guys.
Okay.
And together, they're going to get close to 100% of the work. The other guys should not be any kind of significant factor here. So let's start with this. And the most important thing is, what is it going to cost you to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams? It's going to cost you a 3rd round pick mm-hmm. for Clyde. It's going to cost you an 8th round pick for Damian Williams.
Okay.
Who, by the way, is going to be the starter on week 1.
Okay.
I mean, you know, for all the things that are working against rookies here in this offseason and this preseason, I think there is a 90% chance Damian Williams gets the majority of the work in the beginning of the season.
Sure.
8th round pick. So I'm going to start both guys as my starters. So that means now available to me, Matt, is my 1st round pick, my 2nd round pick, my 4th, my 5th, my 6th, and my 7th to not be running backs. Those picks can be other stuff. That means
I love other stuff.
I love other. Who doesn't love other stuff? That's the next Oreo they should make.
Other stuff.
It could be anything in there, God. Man.
No, I don't want any of that.
They got every variation of Oreo possible.
Other stuff.
But not other stuff.
With a big question mark on the package.
That's right. It's the sawdust they swept from under the factory floor. So now my 1st round pick, I can go wide receivers. I can go tight ends. Mm-hmm. I've got all this, these other picks. I could even go other running backs if I wanted to, with the intention of still starting Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams. I could still work in another running back or two. Now, in how would it work if I'm really bundling the 1A and the 1B running backs from the Chiefs, what am I getting? Well, this is the best offense in football.
Mm-hmm.
In two seasons under Patrick Mahomes, these are Patrick Mahomes' starts, the Chiefs averaged a staggering 33 points per game. Keep in mind, the NFL average over the last 2 years is 21. So you're basically getting two extra touchdowns into your scoring. In rushing touchdowns scored, the Chiefs were third last year. They were fourth the year before. So you are getting top tier production from the running backs in terms of touchdowns. In the Mahomes era, running backs are averaging over 1.5 touchdowns per game. Over 1.5. Okay. So that means in a typical week, I'm getting a touchdown out of one. And in the next week, I'm getting a touchdown out of each one, or I'm getting two combined touchdowns.
Okay.
That's pretty good production out of my third and eighth round pick at running back. Now, both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Williams are elite level pass catchers. And I'll remind listeners, 2 years ago, Kareem Hunt, in the 11 games that he played before he went dumbass, he caught seven touchdowns.
Yeah.
Caught seven. So if I add those seven in with the 1.5 touchdowns per game that we were getting before, rushing touchdowns, these two running backs are going to average two touchdowns a game between them. That's elite running back production right now.
Yes, it is. If you have one running back position you're using in your starting lineup to do it, you got to use two, though. You have to use both of your running back starting slots on these guys. And that means I don't get to have a second running back in play. That's the thing.
What
that
do you
really
mean? I got two running backs. I got Clyde Edwards-Helaire and I got Damian Williams.
You're taking these two guys. You're combining them together. They're a fantastic running back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
but you got to take
two touchdowns a game.
You got to take those two guys and put them into two starting spots where if I get a bell cow back in the first two rounds or the first three rounds, I slot him into one of my running back spots, and then I still have an extra running back spot where I can start and get gravy from anybody else. So here, you want the negatives?
Yeah.
I'll give you the negatives.
Let's bring it on, although I'd like to respond to that, too.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so you're suggesting Dalvin Cook, for example, is my first-round pick.
Sure.
The beauty of my system is, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams, is I just drafted Michael Thomas or Davante Adams. You know, I've got Michael Thomas on my team.
Yes,
you
do get to use your draft picks for other things. But when it comes down to your starting lineup, you're taking a roster spot out of your starting lineup by starting two Chiefs running backs.
I'm contending to get their ETH. They're both effectively RB1s combined. But go ahead.
That's the perfect segue right there.
Okay, good.
How many times in the last 4 years have two running backs from the same team finished in the top 24? And now it's time for a guessing game, Charge. Here we go. In 2019, we had one pair of running backs finish in the top 24 because you want two top 24 running backs.
Well,
so they're both starting running back worthy.
Okay.
In the 12-team
now
league.
For last year, if I can just use the second half of the season, I know both Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb were top 24s once Kareem Hunt got off suspension.
Okay.
But I'm sure that's not the answer to this.
That's not the answer.
You're asking me for a full season.
Yep.
All right. Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler.
That is correct. Ding, ding. Do we have a ding, ding on there? There we go. You get the duck. Eckler finished seventh. Gordon finished 24th. In 2018, there was one pair of running backs who both finished in the top 24.
No, geez.
You're not going to get it.
No. All right. Tell me.
The Chicago Bears duo of Tariq Cohen at number 17 and Jordan Howard at number 18.
Okay.
In 2017,
we
had three sets. That was the most successful year by far.
Of the last four. Okay.
Uh-huh. Can you guess any of those?
Well, it's ancient history now. Three years ago?
You can get a couple of these. NFC South.
NFC South. Okay. Oh, was it Freeman and Coleman?
Tevin Coleman.
Freeman and Coleman was one of them. Okay.
Freeman finished 12th. Coleman 22nd.
Okay.
Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram.
Oh, Mark Ingram. Sure.
Finished 4 and 6.
How did they? Yeah. Okay. I'm surprised they didn't hit that 2 years ago. Freeman and Kamara weren't in 2 years ago.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bonkers.
And then shocking.
The Vikings, the duo of Latavius Murray and Jarek McKinnon
at
21 and 24.
Wow. Now, okay. Now,
and then in 2016, one pair again. It was the Falcons again, Freeman and Coleman.
I would say, all right, list the teams, just the teams that you just said for all these pairs of running backs that finished in the top 24.
The Chargers.
And?
The Bears.
And?
The Saints.
And?
Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings.
Don't you think the Chiefs are a lot better than all of those? The Chiefs are awesome.
The Chiefs are.
If there's any team can do this, it's a
lot
the Chiefs.
There's a lot of touchdowns to
there's
go around.
There's a lot of touchdowns but to go around.
In 4 years, yes. With 32 teams in the league,
yeah.
That's 128 chances for a running back duo to finish in the top 24.
And we hit it 7 times.
It was done 6 times.
Okay.
It's a success rate of 4.6%.
I just think the Chiefs are special enough that they can do that.
They're definitely special enough that they can. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you should do what you're thinking about doing. Don't you just want to get one to run away with this job and feel confident
that's
one of them running away with the job? I don't mind having both on my team.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really difficult for me to go into a draft and going, I'm getting these two.
Let's play this out.
Okay.
So let's say either through injury or incompetence, one of them breaks away from the other one and this thing turns into an 80-20 instead of a 60-40.
Okay.
So you can't really start the other one. Can I find a running back? Is it impossible to get a running back? Am I going to, you know, if I'm going to execute this plan, as I mentioned before, you're going to have a first, a second, a fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks.
Mm-hmm.
One of those might be another running back. And then after that, after the eighth round, I'm going to, you know, throw a bunch of picks at running back again. Between that and the waiver wire, can I find more running back?
I don't mind the handcuff of the Chiefs' backs. What I do mind is the forethought of going into your draft going, I'm getting these two Chiefs backs that I'm sloughing the rest of the position and not thinking about it and starting these two and going everywhere else with it, with all my other picks. I want some safety. I want a little bit of insurance to back this up. What if Mahomes goes down? What if that offense goes upside down if Mahomes goes down? And he did go down for a couple games last year.
He did.
That's something that's pretty nerve wracking to me because I have two guys that are tied to two positions on my team. And if another guy who's completely separate goes belly up, it might torpedo all of my value.
I think I could say that about almost every running back, that they're all in trouble when their quarterbacks go down. But I guess you double the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll give you this. You didn't bring this up. What if COVID sweeps through the Chiefs locker room?
I was going to mention that.
That's a real potential.
Damian Williams and Clyde stay in separate running back rooms?
They should.
Throughout the year.
Probably not.
Plexiglass them apart.
You know, that to me, that's as big a risk as anything of the Edwards-Alaire Williams strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right there? Could be trouble. I hope not. I want to execute this. By the way, I think way easier to execute this plan in a draft than an auction.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. In an auction, somebody's going to throw out Clyde Edwards-Alaire pretty early because it's going to, you know, I think he's going to be a hot pick and people are going to want to throw him out. So you go get, when you, Matt, go get Clyde Edwards-Alaire,
mm-hmm.
and then I hear you bidding on Damian Williams.
You're bidding him up.
I'm bidding him up.
That's why
I'll see through this strategy in a second.
If you're gonna go in with that strategy, you need to get Damian Williams first.
I think you do need to get him first. Mm-hmm. And people might still bid you up on Clyde Edwards-Alaire at that point, but you could back out and it doesn't cost you that much.
How about this, Charge? I know guillotine leagues are a whole nother beast because they're 17-team drafts. Would you feel comfortable? You'd have to probably draft Clyde in the second round, and it would probably increase Damian Williams to like the sixth, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Because it's 17 teams, Clyde is going to go in the second
round. Would you feel comfortable using this strategy in a guillotine league?
Less comfortable because it's a 60-40,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a lot of games where one of them has two touchdowns and 120 total yards, and the other one has 40 total yards.
Okay.
And in totality, I'm willing to take that. But if I've only got one guy or the other, I'm in deep trouble if it's not his week. And I don't know. I'm nervous about that.
It seems like you're looking for safety in guillotine
leagues,
right?
You are looking for safety.
And what's more safe than to have the combination of these two running backs?
It is.
That's a pretty safe way to play.
Actually, maybe you're right. Because between them, how many duds are they going to post?
You're probably not getting many
almost
duds.
None.
Maybe we're onto something with the handcuffed backfields in guillotine strategy.
But you got to be a Chiefs level offense to pull it off.
You do.
33 points per game under Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know if there's another running back duo out there
that you could
that
trust
could be
to
this
do
interesting.
No, probably not. There probably
maybe
isn't.
Dobbins and Ingram, but
yeah, maybe. although the quarterback worries me, you know, because Lamar Jackson just steals your touchdowns. Yeah. You know, and Patrick Mahomes will, you know, he'll steal five over the season or four.
Yeah.
But these guys between them could end up scoring 24, 28 touchdowns. And I, you know, between them, I wouldn't be surprised if one has a 10, 11, 12 touchdown season and one has a 12, 14, 16 touchdown season.
Well, I would be super interested to see what somebody's draft look like if they drafted these in a guillotine league. So you should probably go over to guillotineleagues.com.
Good idea. Excellent
idea. Take a couple of Chiefs for running backs, and then show me what the rest of your roster looks like, because I'd be fascinated to see it. Tweet it at me if you can execute it.
That is at Explosive Output is where we would tweet you. Yeah. And at Paul Charchian is where we would tweet me. It's a fascinating turn, and we'll spend more time, I think, looking at this particular draft strategy as the preseason unwinds. Let's hope we have a regular preseason. The two games is great. I just want to have, just give me a month of, you know, all the preseason stuff, the training camps and everything else.
Yeah.
Is that okay? I hope
I
you know, in some ways we're better off not having those first couple of games where we get bad intel in those first games. Darwin Thompson.
Everybody just wants this all to go back to normal. We just want to have a football season where you can sit on the couch with your family and watch some football games and cheer on the numbers on Sunday night and Monday night. And
won't that be great?
Gosh, I just want that back.
Oh, phenomenal. great job. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
By the way, reminder for those that are listening to Fantasy Football Weekly, in markets that carry the radio show, we're back on the air in 2 weeks. We're on the air August 1st. The long form 2-hour version of Fantasy Football Weekly is coming in just two episodes from now. You know, this is a scant 31 minutes. Right now, this is a piece of cake.
Yeah, this is nothing. Yeah, this is nothing. Just a nibble.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, great job. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.